This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Tell everyone I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
That'd be the USA, baby. Glad to have you. Another hour of What's on Your Mind. I'm Scott Hinnom. Kevin Flynn is here. Senator Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall coming up this hour. Brought to you by Patriot Mobile, now more than ever. It is so darn important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And Patriot Mobile does that. Not only sharing our values, our beliefs, but actually doing something about it. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. So switch to Patriot Mobile now. Get free activation with the code FLAGFAMILY. Switching is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/FLAGFAMILY. patriotmobile.com/FLAGFAMILY or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. They do a great job. That customer service team doing a wonderful thing for you, that's for sure. All right, well, we're going to get to it today on the program. A number of different ways for you to join us. Toll free, 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776. Leave a message when you call, and we'll be able to play that message for Senator Cramer, or you can chat with us live on the air. You'll be given options when you call. So that's an easy way to go. Locally, it's 701-271-1100. 701-271-1100. You can also text us at 701-237-1590. 701-237-1590. So a lot of different ways for you to join us today on the program. Topics that I have loaded up and ready to go today on the program include the politics of the debt limit. Because it's sort of an unwritten rule that Republicans lose politically when it comes to the debt limit face-off. I don't know why, but it is pretty much a given. And therefore, there's not much fight in the Republicans when it comes time to take this battle on. I want to ask Senator Cramer a little bit about that and what he thinks ought to be done. Also curious about what we anticipate will be a round of pretty good legislation from the U.S. House of Representatives and what we hope won't be a graveyard once they pass that legislation and send it over to the Senate. I don't want a graveyard over there. I want some action. So what's the strategy there on getting enough votes, because obviously Republicans don't control a majority in the Senate on that front. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Tim Kaine announced his plans for re-election today. He's a Democrat from Virginia. There are a ton of Democratic members that are up this term. So you're going to be hearing a lot of decisions related to I'm running, I'm not running, and what does the political landscape look like. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I know Kevin Flynn thinks it's a nothing burger, but does Kevin Cramer think the documents found are a nothing burger? Find out there. Nothing burger is what you
need. Well, I mean, think about it. They all take them home, classified documents. I mean, who keeps paper documents? Do you have file cabinets full of paper documents at your house anymore? No, you have jump drive, yeah, or you store them on your computer, or you've gone paperless years ago. But apparently, Joe Biden keeps them in his new pen office, in his garage, and over here, and over there, and hither and yon. Come on. you know, and to think that they're anywhere close to classified anymore. I mean, after Hunter throws a few parties at Dad's place, I mean, you can bet that none of it's secure anymore.
Which isn't exactly a nothing burger.
But here we are talking about it. Here we are paying all kinds of attention to it. Meanwhile, how many people are dying every day from fentanyl poisoning? 300-400 people a day.
Your point, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that this is a weapon against Biden.
Oh, that too. Yeah, it's a total distraction, that's why it's perfect.
How can it be a weapon if it's a nothing burger?
It's both. It's a nothing burger distraction, and at the same time, it throws him under the bus.
Let me see.
All Help right. me out here, Kev. Come on.
Senator Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall is ready to roll here. Kevin, how are you?
My man!
I'm intrigued, I'll tell you that. I'm intrigued by your conversation.
Call me later. We'll have a breakdown.
We might as well start there on the documents. I mean, how much is this gripping Washington? How big a deal is this, do you think?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty good point. I think Kevin sort of nails it. It may or may not be a nothing burger, but the initial fact, the initial finding that classified information has been, you know, walking out of the White House now by two administrations, and this most recent finding being one that exposes really lots of flaws in the system. I think it is worth talking about because at the end of the day, it may not be a big deal because a lot of things get classified, you guys. One of the things I've said for a long time, particularly since being on the Senate Armed Services Committee, is that we overclassify as a society, as a government, because we being the open government that we are, being the self-governed, you know, exceptional nation that we are, we really ought to be very careful about how much we classify. One of the people, and perhaps one of his greatest contributions to national defense, in national defense since I've been on the committee, it was General Jay Raymond, who recently retired as the first chief of space operations. And General Raymond made it one of his missions early on in becoming, you know, a member of the Joint Chiefs, was to declassify a lot of information that's been previously classified. It was a very good and smart move because our people are used to information. Now, we can't share everything. That would be, you know, bad for business. That would be bad for our national defense. It'd be bad for security. It'd be bad for lots of things. But they're also... But the classification process can also be used to hide things that shouldn't be hit from the American public. And because of that, and Kevin, I think you're a perfect example of this. If you don't know certain things, your imagination will fill in the void because you're a curious person. Well, oftentimes the reality isn't nearly as bad as what we would imagine if you're not telling us something, because right away we become skeptical or suspicious of what they're, quote, not telling us.
Right. We can build the narrative. Exactly.
Precisely. So I just think we need to classify fewer things. Now, that said, I don't know what these things are that Joe Biden walked out with. A couple of things I think I would like all conservatives, you know, I'd be interested in their opinion on. Could we as conservatives and liberals agree presidents and vice presidents shouldn't walk out of the White House with classified documents? I mean, I just think that's a pretty decent rule of thumb. Unless, of course, you're a president and you declassify them first. But then, you need to go through the normal rigors. The second thing is, could we please, from this day forward, set up a system where it's not likely that would happen, that there really is somebody that reviews everything that walks out of the White House before it leaves. In boxes, in moving boxes. But this particular one with Joe Biden is problematic for big time for him, Kevin. You're exactly right. It's a weapon against him politically. And it's one, by the way, that even CNN and Washington Post and New York Times are now starting to use against him because they, one thing about our mainstream, very liberal protect Democrats at all cost media, one thing they won't tolerate is being lied to. And they feel like they've been lied to, and because they have been. But the thing about this one is, tell me, where were the National Archives for the last 6 years? I mean, here they made an international crime case out of Donald Trump's taking some things to Mar-a-Lago. But for 6 years, they ignored the fact that the vice president, not the president, but the vice president on his way out took a bunch of boxes, and they'd never asked for them back, as far as we know. The other thing that's problematic for me is, how is it that we just believe, we're supposed to now believe that they're telling us the truth when they haven't been for 6 years? Now you hear people, the apologists on the other networks, on the mainstream networks, saying, well, he's been up front. This is very different than Donald Trump. They've been completely transparent with us. Says who? What we know is what they tell us. And somehow we're just supposed to presume that what they don't tell us isn't happening.
Well, and not to mention Donald Trump had them all locked up. I mean, the only question was, should there be two locks?
Well, on that note, too, I want to ask you, Kevin, about motive, because there's a different motive for Donald Trump to take documents after one term in office and one term in D.C., and the motive that might have motivated Joe Biden to take boxes and boxes of them.
Sure.
Yeah, so there's got to be a difference there.
All right, short break. Back with more of Senator Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall. Straight ahead, lots of topics to get to, and of course, your calls, questions, and comments welcome as well on What's On Your Mind.
With a history in North Dakota dating back 70 years, Hess Corporation is committed to making a positive impact across communities in the Bakken. Hess, making significant commitments to improve our environment, targeting zero routine flaring by 2025. Committed to the production of clean, sustainable energy for the nation and the world through significant reductions in our carbon footprint. Hess, a trusted energy partner for North Dakota.
Ask a local farmer in Fargo or the Mandan area about High Plains Apache, and one consistent word you'll hear from all of them is local. There's something to be said about being local. Locally owned, locally serviced, High Plains Apache is the dependable company, selling and servicing crop sprayers with the parts you need and having an answer to all your questions. And all this local has a worldwide webpage, highplainsapache.com. highplainsapache.com.
Ready to launch your small business or take your farm from some acres to a lot of acres? How about that big proposal?
Will you marry me?
Or that huge surprise? That forever dream home, the one you can take anywhere. Wherever you are in life, be sure you're ready to say yes. First International Bank and Trust. Say yes to living first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Brian Cronk here from Collins & Cronk, Raymond James. As a listener, you have probably heard me saying, stick to the plan during these difficult times. But what if you don't have a plan? No problem. Call Collins & Cronk today. We can design a recovery strategy for your portfolio and start a financial plan for you.
Call Collins & Cronk to get a recovery strategy for your portfolio and a goal plan for your life. 701-235-0119. Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Collins & Cronk is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You're going to run out of David Crosby songs by the end of the show, or no?
Not a chance.
No.
He has a hell of a body of work.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do some deep tracks for you guys.
What's a deep track?
Yeah, not a song that maybe wasn't a huge hit, but was on an album here or there. Wooden Ships was a good one back in the day, long time gone.
Not familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Back on What's On Your Mind, continuing our chat with Senator Kevin Cramer. So a special counsel appointed, regardless of whether we think it's a big deal or not a big deal, is going to be... challenging for the Biden White House at a minimum, right?
Well, I would think so, Scott, but I'm not a big fan of special counsels. Frankly, I think special counsels are just an excuse for the FBI and the DOJ not to do what they're supposed to do every single day. It just fries me, quite honestly. The notion of a special counsel is that they're supposed to be, quote, independent. Well, so is the Department of Justice supposed to be independent. So is the FBI supposed to be independent, not, you know, non-political. That said, obviously, the Attorney General had no option, given what he had done in the Trump situation. However, I don't know whether to compliment Merrick Garland or not, but the guy did this evidently without even consulting the White House or telling the White House or telling the president that he was going to appoint a special counsel, and he has really turned the White House on its head. I don't think there's any question about that. But remember, we spent, I forget, Scotty, but I think it was something like $30 or more million for Robert Mueller to spend a couple of years, hire 500 FBI agents and investigators, you know, review thousands of documents of evidence, all to do what? To prove that Donald Trump didn't collude with the Russians. And the whole, his whole point was to prosecute Donald Trump for colluding with the Russians. So I just, you know, these things kind of have a life of their own. And, you know, it was time he had to do it. I encouraged him actually to do it because I think he needs to get it and get it out of the political realm. But we'll see. We'll see.
I want to ask about a couple of the topics before we get to some texts and calls here as well. One on the debt limit. Am I right that Republicans always lose politically on this?
Well, not really, because some of the debt limit votes in the past are when we've gotten some of the concessions that we've got. For example, the Budget Control Act and sequestration, which actually led, really, which ran through 2021. Which led to the cuts in discretionary spending for the first couple of years after 2014, or was it 2011? I keep forgetting all these things. So that was a deal brokered by Mitch McConnell, coming up on a debt limit increase, and he was able to leverage that for these sequester cuts, which were $1.3
I guess
trillion.
Yeah, I didn't word my question very well, but I'm saying when the government shuts down. Republicans take the brunt of the political blame, don't they?
That's certainly true. That's certainly true. But here's what it's true. But some of that, I think, is a communications problem. And the debt limit is similar, right? The debt limit thing is another one of those things where you already watched the rhetoric, right? So first, Republicans had to swallow, what, $3 trillion, $4 trillion worth of Democrat-only pushed through budget reconciliation, unnecessary borrowing and spending. Not one Republican vote for this stuff, all Democratic. That's what caused caused us to get to the debt ceiling so quickly. So in other words, them spending money in a partisan way, and then they come to us and put a gun to your head and say, you know, it would be catastrophic if we hit the debt ceiling. Don't let that happen. The Republicans are irresponsible by insisting on negotiating some structural changes or some budget cuts. And how does that not make them as culpable as it makes Republicans, if not more culpable? And then when Republicans say, well, we need to negotiate or demand some structural changes that would either, you know, restore non-defense discretionary back to 2021 or do something on the mandatory spending side or go back to regular order, insist on going back to regular order. There are a number of things on the table, Scott, and I love talking about them, frankly, because I'm on the budget committee and I've been voting no on debt ceiling increases. I voted yes on some. I voted no on some. The ones I voted yes on, it'd either been for a month or two while we negotiated something else, or we got some structural changes, some improvements. And so how is it that we say we need those things, and then right away the White House, along with, you know, their amplifiers at CNN and other places, say, see, they're being reckless by not agreeing to raise debt ceiling no matter what. Well, so are you if you're the no matter what. If you are saying to Republicans who are insisting on negotiating terms, if you're saying, no, hell no, we won't go, that's a non-starter, you're playing with the same leverage. But here's where I'm going to make a little news and hold your applause, Kevin. I've never been completely convinced, Frank, that hitting the debt ceiling and as they call it, defaulting, is catastrophic. We don't know that for a fact. We know that Wall Street will lose their minds because they always do. They're the most emotional creatures on the planet. They're victims all the time. And so, sure, maybe markets have a problem. Maybe somebody reduces our rating, to a B minus or something as a country. But you guys, we're still the United States of America. It's our dollar that is the currency of record in the world. It's our economy that's the largest in the world. We're the biggest consumers in the world. We're the biggest producers in the world. We're the freest people in the world. We're the benchmark, not anybody else, no matter what we do. And who says that the markets or investors won't look at this and say, by golly, that government had the guts to get their fiscal house in order. Hitting the debt ceiling doesn't mean the government shuts down. We still collect revenue. We're just going to collect, we're just not going to be able to borrow. So that means, what do? You prioritize. What does a household do if they take in $4,000 a month? Well, they look at what are the $4,000 worth of priorities we have to fund. Our biggest problem is the biggest line item in that scenario is interest on the debt, and that's the first thing we'd have to pay. So I don't want to oversimplify it, but I also refuse to overcomplicate it with panic.
Well,
that is an applause line, by the way.
That is, yeah. Okay. And if you can convince enough members of the Republican side, the negotiation could provide some fruit again in a way of real reform, right?
So it's a great point, Scott, because here's the other thing that I think we underestimate. There actually are a number of Democrats who realize, for example, on the mandatory side, who know, because it's a fact, it's not an opinion, that Medicare is going to be insolvent in about 5 years, maybe 4 years, that Social Security will be insolvent in less than a decade, which means an automatic 25% cuts. Now, Democrats have been ignoring that for two decades. Donald Trump ignored it. He refused to deal with the mandatory ledger. He didn't want to fix those programs. Now, you already see that Democrats, particularly in the White House, are accusing the Republicans of hijacking Medicare cuts. They're going to insist on Medicare cuts and Social Security cuts, because that's what Democrats always do. Not a single Republican has ever said that we want to cut Medicare and Social Security as a condition of raising the debt ceiling. No one's ever said that. In fact, they say the opposite. But there are honest Democrats among us, particularly several I know in the Senate, who know if we don't fix Social Security and Medicare in the next few years, we're all going to be culpable, and we're not going to escape the ramifications of that. And so those kinds of reforms, I think there's a bipartisan opportunity, with or without this leverage. But this leverage, if we didn't have debt ceilings every couple of years, and by the way, a lot of people
wouldn't get anything done. Wouldn't get anything done. You need the deadline. More after this with Senator Kramer.
Hey, some big news. The 2024 election could be America's last one. That's the shocking conclusion of best-selling author David Horowitz. In his new book, The Final Battle, David Horowitz reveals a secret war underway in America. Democrats' woke culture and a new generation are destroying our culture and ending our freedoms. Horowitz says their plan is taking place in our schools, our churches, even in our military. This week you need to watch David Horowitz on the Chris Salcedo Show as he reveals the real threat of Biden, Obama, big media, and more. Horowitz names names. So tune in today to Newsmax, the network I watch, and see Chris Salcedo and David Horowitz. And make sure you get a copy of The Final Battle. Newsmax calls it the best book of 2023 in bookstores everywhere, or get the free offer and save $28. Just go online to finalbattle611.com. Finalbattle611.com and get your free copy today. And be sure and watch Newsmax today.
USA News Update. Elon Musk could take the stand in San Francisco, California soon in a federal trial over investor losses allegedly caused by his tweets to take Tesla private. Prosecution is focused on Mr. Musk's frame of mind when he texted "funding secured" in the summer of 2018. The Treasury Department began taking special measures to keep paying the government's bills on Thursday, as the United States is against its borrowing limit.
The debt ceiling needs to be lifted, but wouldn't it be a normal thing if we're $31 trillion in debt, not to just give a blank check?
Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. The Treasury Department began their so-called extraordinary measures, those accounting maneuvers, including suspending investments for certain government accounts, that will allow the Treasury to keep paying obligations to bondholders, Social Security recipients, and others until at least early June. Lance Pry, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Before the top of the hour, brought to you today by PetroServe USA, home cooking, grab and go convenience. So wait, you, is pulled pork in hardwood today, 45th Street in Fargo and 12th Avenue at I-29. There's tuna hot dish or beef and noodles at West Main Avenue, West Fargo. There's lasagna at MP Avenue, cheeseburger mac in Glendon, and meatballs in Yulin. 701-271-1100. Toll free at 855-200-1776, and your text welcome at 701-237-1590 for Senator Kevin Cramer. I wanted to ask you one other topic here before we go to the calls. Obviously, with a Republican majority in the House, you'd hope there's going to be some good legislation come out of the House. What are the chances? What is the strategy? Any of that is passed and gets to the president.
Yeah, so here's the main thing. I think the area where the House can affect the most change, and by the way, so far so good. I mean, I think some of the things they've done early on are things that probably won't get to the president, but they're still important for them to have done and to restore confidence, and you know, certainly among the base, but even among mainstream Republicans, I think they've done very, very well. But where I think they can make the biggest difference, Scott, is to start the appropriations process now, remembering that they have a clean slate. It's 2023, which means the 2024 budget cycle begins on October 1st, so they have to start the budgeting now, budgeting and then appropriations with the 12 appropriations bills. Because, remember, the Constitution gives the House of Representatives unique authority to go first on spending. And, you've noticed in recent years what happens is Chuck Schumer takes a House bill that has nothing to do with spending because they never pass appropriations anymore, and he just amends it in the Senate. He could still sort of do that, but I think if Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans would start with the appropriations process, and I would start with the defense appropriations bill, and then maybe move on to the military construction VA bill, that they're pretty well straightforward. They're not small and they're not easy, but there's an infrastructure and a authorization infrastructure that works early in the year on those things. And so that's what I would do. And if they just keep passing those one at a time in regular order, full transparency, debate them on the floor, or offer amendments on the floor, let the American public see this sausage-making machine in full view like they used to do when Dick Armey was majority leader and Newt Gingrich was speaker. I think at that point you apply pressure as much as anything by example on Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's just going to go right to the president's desk, but what will happen is you'll have a transparent negotiation process. You'll have a transparent legislating process. and you, instead of a bunch of earmarks put in by Republicans and Democrats, I mean, that is one area where I don't know where House Republicans all they ended up buying into the whole earmark thing. But instead of having earmarks that are introduced in the dark of night and then you're given 24 hours to vote on a massive package, you'd have debate on each of those things. You know, I'm not against Congress steering specific spending. That's what we should be doing. But you're supposed to steer it in a transparent way. I think, Scott, that'd be the greatest contribution House Republicans could make to the restoration of the institutions of Congress. I think it would put pressure on Democrats in the Senate. And quite honestly, a lot of people, including Democrats, would like to see us restore order. House Democrats for 40 years did things in regular order before Republicans took the majority. It was somewhere after all of that that these things broke down, and Democrats figured they figured out that they could use the process of, abuse the process in this new way. I think Republicans could do that. And that's how I think we make a big difference. And as long as we're realistic about the end product.
Texter says, Kevin, who decides what funds get cut when the government shuts down? Why would Social Security checks and firefighters not get paid? How about government employees not get paid and there will be no back pay when the issue is solved?
Okay, boy, this is somebody who's been observing this process for a long time and has noticed real, obvious things. So there's a few things. First of all, with regard to Social Security and Medicare, remember, those things are not, they're not part of the discretionary budget. They have their own revenue source. Social Security, Medicare, that's why we pay into Medicare. It's why we pay into the FICA, right? So as long as those trust funds have the money in them, they're not subject to the appropriations process anyway. Now, they are the biggest drivers of debt because there's not as much coming in as needs to go out. And once they run out of the trust funds run out and the only revenue you have is what's coming into the funds, then you'd have a bigger problem. So those things are intact, Social Security, Medicare. Who decides? Let's just say it's 80-20. Let's just say that 80% enough money comes in to pay for the 100%, of what's, quote, obligated on the discretionary side. Who decides that is, this is why Chip Roy, who I don't know from a hole in the head in the House, but he's got legislation that would set those priorities. We've asked, in the Banking Committee last year, we asked Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, under oath, if she could come up with a suggested priority plan. The biggest challenge we have, of course, I think I maybe have said this earlier, is that right now, interest on our debt, which would almost certainly have to be the first thing, this is what would calm the globalists, this is what would calm Wall Street and the markets, and it's frankly what could preserve our strong credit rating. If we put out a statement or put out a law or some regulation that the first thing paid every day, every week, every month would be interest on the debt, we would at least stabilize that. After that, it could be legislated. It could be the president. It'd be great if we could legislate it, but I think that's irresponsible not to have such a list now. And I think the only reason that Janet Yellen refuses to answer that question about a priority list is because if you presented a plan for how to deal with or mitigate the negative ramifications of hitting the debt ceiling, people might go, well, that doesn't seem so bad. You mean I could only spend the money I take in? I don't know the specific answer, but certainly Congress could do it if we passed the law. And that's what I'd like to see done.
Dana in Valley City for Senator Kevin Cramer. Let's get you in here. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Senator Cramer. I'm just going to dig up some old bones here because I'm curious about your thinking on this. Back in the primary season, shortly after Mitch McConnell came out and he talked about kind of indicating why he didn't put money to certain candidates and where his money was going to go, you came on the same program, and you talked about quality of candidates, so you came on Scott's program. Well, I'm going to name four of those candidates. I'm going to say one thing they all had in common, then I'm going to ask you what you knew about them to why you said they weren't quality candidates. So Kelly Shabaka out of Alaska, Don Bolduc out of New Hampshire, Blake Masters out of Arizona, and Adam Laxalt out of Nevada. One thing they all had in common is they were America first. And we saw what happened in the House 2 weeks ago when the whole world was falling apart, but a lot of good things came out of that. So what I want to ask you is, what made you believe that these weren't quality candidates? Because I believe it's a direct correlation, what Mitch McConnell did with his money, why you guys are weak and ineffective in the Senate right now. So what did you know about these candidates, and why did you think they weren't quality to parrot the same talking point?
Well, first of all, it's not a parody. I think Adam Laxalt was a top drawer candidate, and Mitch McConnell was all in with for Adam Laxalt. He spent a lot of his money.
What about Chewbacca? And what about Chewbacca and Bolduc?
Well, neither of those two candidates ever appeared competitive, quite honestly. And when you have, half a billion dollars,
McConnell
spend it. I'm sorry, he was trying to say something. But if you only have a limited amount of funds, you're going to spend them where it looks like you have the best opportunities to win. One of the biggest problems Republicans have, Scott, in a lot of these races, is that our billionaires, to quote Mitch, our billionaires aren't as generous as their billionaires. We don't have a George Soros. We don't even have the Koch brothers anymore. And so, you know, we used to have some of that, but Democrats have all the very generous billionaires. So that leaves one major funding source. And when I say major, I mean the kind that can make a big difference. And that is the Senate Leadership Fund. So you have to dole those out based on data as you collect it. Now, in the case of Blake Masters, McMaster, there were some others that came in, and remembering that the super PACs sort of negotiate this among themselves. And so, and here's the other misnomer, Scott. You understand media better than any of us on this call, but you reserve a lot of television time, radio time, things like that in advance. So if you have $100 million, but you'll reserve $200 million worth of time, eventually when it comes time for the media to run, you can only run half of it. And so then you pull, you know, you drop the other ads that you can't pay for. It's not that you cut them. You've just had to make that decision. Another one would be, I think some people could argue that Georgia wasn't a good bet, but Mitch McConnell was all in Georgia, all in. He was all in with J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance was also America first. When Mitch put in his $23 million or whatever it was, the initial investment in Ohio, J.D. Vance was behind right after Labor Day. He was actually behind and had zero money, pretty much, less than, I think, about $500,000. So
wasn't the whole Blake Masters thing kind of a case of Peter Thiel? Are you gonna go
right,
in?
That's,
or?
That's right. That's exactly yeah. right. That, I couldn't remember the name, but that's exactly right. So Mitch pulls out and made room for Peter Thiel, because Peter Thiel was a strong investor in Blake Masters before the primaries. Now, all of that said, again, it's limited funds, and you have to put them where you have the best bang for the buck. Georgia was one that didn't turn out. Laxalt was one that didn't turn out. But Mitch's PAC put a lot of money into both of those races. We really do need to get more of our super funders, if you will, into the game, and we may not be able to. They may just not share our conviction for Republican majorities like they used to.
Well, that's a problem. And now's the time you're working on that for sure. Dana, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good call.
And four interesting races there. Blake Masters is one I thought that more could have been done, but I think there was that battle between which billionaire is going to pony up here, and it was a game of chicken that didn't serve Blake Masters well in the end there. Another segment to go. Last chance to get your questions in. 271-1100. Text 237-1590.
North Dakota is a special place.
Oil and gas supports more than 60,000 jobs in the state of North Dakota.
And the industry is vital to our economy, adding nearly $4 billion in state and local tax revenues.
Why would we buy oil from dictators when we have it right here? We produce it the cleanest, the greenest of anywhere in the world.
Keep creating great jobs, and right here in North Dakota.
We support North Dakota oil and gas.
Paid for by American Experiments, North Dakota. AmericanExperimentND.org. At Gateway Building Systems, we understand that the success of your farm is dependent on storage. As the number one Brock bin dealer in the U.S., we'll provide you with Brock solid bins, grain dryers, Millwright services, towers, conveyors, and much more. We've helped farmers customize their operations, and it's our mission to do the same for you. From planning and design to completed clean and efficient farm sites, you can rest assured knowing that Gateway will provide you with the best storage solutions. Make sure to take advantage of discounts on our Brock solid bins. For more information, go online to gatewaybuilding.com.
Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile not only shares our beliefs, but actually does something about it. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now. Get free activation with the code FLAGFAMILY. Switching is easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/FLAGFAMILY. patriotmobile.com/FLAGFAMILY. Or call 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT.
Think about this winter. You're going along, snow blowing, and then you hit that uneven sidewalk or a large crevice in your driveway. The blower hits you right in the gut, and your hands hurt. Have you had enough?
Ramjack North can help. Level that concrete and put an end to your pain. Contact us now for a free estimate and to learn more at pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com. And have an easy winter.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
On Your Mind, brought to you by MyPillow. Lots of great winter specials right now at MyPillow.com. Don't forget the coffee at MyStore.com. Oh, is that great coffee? Yes, it is. You're going to love it. And use the promo code Scott. Get half off right now. All you have to do is go to MyStore.com, promo code Scott, to get that deal. MyPillow.com for all the other products. Promo code Scott to get the deals or call 800-506-9028. Go rapid fire with some text here to end this segment. It's a short one. Listener wants to know, when the USA pays interest on the national debt, who gets the payment?
Yeah, good question. So obviously, as you know, some of that debt is paid off by a couple of areas, but the Federal Reserve puts out bonds and, you know, people buy them, and there's interest to be paid. There are other, you know, a lot of bond holders, obviously. The biggest holder of American debt, of U.S. debt, is Social Security Trust Fund. I forget what the exact numbers are now. I used to sort of have that stuff charted in my head, but the last 2 years have so overwhelmed that I don't even know how it applies anymore. You guys might remember when Donald Trump wanted to renegotiate the debt. you know, today with interest rates where they are, boy, that's a pretty smart idea. But we got so addicted to low interest rates, none of which I think, I mean, there's a lot of downsides to be, you know, having super low interest rates all the time and being so addicted to them. But we got so addicted to them that now just the payments on the interest itself are going up, not just because we're borrowing more, but because the rates actually are going up.
Yeah, that's an ouch. That's for sure. Yep, listener says, I wonder, does Kevin realize how despised Mitch McConnell is by his constituents?
You know, I don't get that other than on a little bit of talk radio, but here's the thing that I think a lot of, it's interesting, I got a letter the other evening, a couple of different calls from people that want me to make sure that Ronna McDaniel doesn't get reelected as chairman. The constituency for a majority leader really has very little to do with North Dakotans. He represents Kentucky, and he manages the sort of the floor for the Republican Senate. I think some people, I've never known, by the way, a majority leader of either party that was popular among constituents of other states. Tom Daschle was the most recent example from our area, who lost his reelection because he was majority leader. I think for this very reason, because when you're managing the entirety of the Senate, when you have 550% of the Senate as your constituency, or maybe 51, 52, maybe 49, you have to make big decisions and you're willing to make them. That's the sort of fascinating thing, is that leaders take the arrows for the members from the various places that don't have to take them. But give me an option to Mitch McConnell. Give me an option of somebody who can actually take on a Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor and beat him, even in the minority. See, people take a Mitch McConnell and they apply him to the general election. They try to apply these legislative leaders to the country as a whole. And really, they have nothing to do with that. What they have to do with is the tactics and the brinksmanship that wins the moment legislatively. And you can even look at the omnibus, which I didn't support, but Mitch McConnell supported it, and he certainly helped get some Republican votes to pass it. Right now, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, passing that omnibus probably saved Kevin McCarthy's speakership and certainly gave him the opportunity now to govern rather than having to deal with coming up on a deadline for funding the government. So these are the things that, again, in a vacuum, they don't look great, or they might even look awful to you. You might not like his face on TV. He maybe doesn't scream on Tucker Carlson enough, or whatever the case might be. But remember, the job of the leader is not policy so much as it is the tactics of making sausage in a very complicated machine.
It's also not popularity, right? I mean, he doesn't care that
Never.
He has a... Yeah,
nope.
I mean...
No, you can't. If you care about popularity as a leader, a legislative leader, your chances of being a successful leader are pretty minimal.
Texter says, today marks the two-year anniversary of Biden killing the Keystone XL pipeline. Does it have any chance?
Oh, no, I think it doesn't, because TransCanada has already abandoned it. But it's a great reminder that as we commemorate 2 years of killing the XL pipeline, Chevron's in Venezuela drilling and producing oil to replace what would be heavy sour crude coming from Canada. Isn't that a tragedy, you guys? But just that is wrong on so many levels. It's sickening to me.
Yeah, no kidding. Texter says you didn't answer whether or not you thought those were quality candidates that caller brought up.
Oh, I think all of our candidates were fine candidates. I don't think any of them was bad quality. Now, I would say this, in New Hampshire, we didn't get our best candidate to run. That would have been the governor, and Governor Sununu. He would have won, but he didn't want to be a senator. Then it went to the next one and the next one, and I think the one that ended up being our candidate, and I don't know him, I maxed out, made a maximum contribution to his campaign. By the way, everybody that the previous caller mentioned, I gave $10,000 to, and so it's or at least $5,000 in the general election too. So it's not like, I don't think any of them were fatal from the start, and I don't think the reason we lost had everything to do with them. But I do think when you look at how we lost, at the exit polling thing, you see that we lost among moderates, independents, even some moderate Republican, particularly suburban women. Again, it had more to do with what happened in the Dobbs decision and more.
We're going to have to leave that there and analyze it more next week right here.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
Harvest is here, and that means we all need to be careful. Hello, this is Bethany Rentz with IRE Insurance. We want to make sure everyone up and down the valley has a safe and successful harvest. Take extra special care in your travels. Slow-moving combines, mud-covered roads, and debris are just a few things during harvest that can be dangerous. So take your time, watch your surroundings, and most of all, be patient and slow down. For more harvest safety tips, go to IREINS.com.
You're protected and appreciated at IRE.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.